Good evening again, everybody. Thank you all so much for being here. I love having you with us, love having the opportunity to worship God on every opportunity we have, especially this Sunday evening. I read or heard, don't know which, that 32nd spot during tonight's Super Bowl is coming in at about $5 million. So please allow me in my own little mind here to value tonight's sermon at approximately $300 million. It would be pretty amazing to have such a wide reach. We can all dream, we can all hope that folks will one day focus their minds on things that are much more significant than a football game. I don't dislike football. I like it. I may watch some of the game tonight, but some people really, as you know, take it to quite an extreme, and that's never really good to see, I don't think. I'm really excited about our ability to talk more about Jesus in this year, 2019. Don't give up on yourself, 2019. It's just 1 month old, and there's still plenty of time for you to do so much of what will matter most in your life. I hope you have a whole slew of goals and things that you would like to get accomplished, not only this year, but in your life. That makes life fascinating and fun and worthwhile, having some things that you want to do and check off the list and achieve. That's cool stuff. But make sure that we focus more on Jesus and less on everything else. I want to level with you tonight. I love and respect everyone in here so much. I respect your intelligence. You're smart people. You know what's going on. Your head screwed on straight. I want to give you a real truth that is evident out there in our brotherhood. When I talk about our brotherhood, I'm talking about members of the Lord's true church, the New Testament church, the church of Christ, those who have been scripturally baptized for the forgiveness of their sins and who have been added by the Lord into that body, that spiritual body that is His Son's church. Those are our brethren. That is our fellowship. That is our movement. Whatever terminology suits you best. But as long as we know we're talking about these ones and only these ones who are members of the same church that we are members of, in the Lord's church today, His kingdom, His body, His army, all of those descriptions fit. In the Lord's church today, there are a lot of people who want to de-emphasize doctrine. There are a lot of people, there are some entire churches, some entire elderships, whole bunch of preachers who want to de-emphasize doctrine. And they don't want to, you know, focus so much about baptism. Let's not spend all of our time thinking about baptism. Let's don't fret so much over instrumental music. You know, we can let that slide. Let's don't look into marriages and see what's going on there and compare that to what the Lord wants to be going on there. Let's just kind of de-emphasize doctrine, you know. Even what I mentioned this morning about the whole Christmas thing. Let's just kind of shy away from that. You know, let's don't make a big deal about doctrine. And a lot of times these folks who are leading this movement in our brotherhood are very want to say, we just need to preach more Jesus. We just need to get back to Jesus and preach Jesus. One of my whole ideas for this More Jesus series that we're doing in 2019 is to pull up a chair and sit down and get comfy and stay a while and see the real picture of Jesus as presented to us, of course, in the Bible, because it's only in these pages that we get the real picture of Jesus and see His real life in action. There are a lot of people out there in the world who don't know the real side of Jesus. There are a lot of people in the church. Hello? There are a lot of people in the church who don't know this real side of Jesus. But because they think that preaching Jesus somehow gets away from doctrine. And preaching Jesus somehow is this amorphous cross-platform, works anywhere, anytime, you know, non-controversial, everybody can agree on this sort of stance. And it could not be farther from the truth. You can't separate Jesus from doctrine. You just can't do it. You especially can't separate Jesus from sound doctrine. To preach Jesus is exactly to preach the things that he stood for, that he taught, that he gave his life for. And boy, we need to see this. We need to see this much more clearly than a lot are. You know, I'll never really understand or purport to understand what's going through the minds of some of these folks. Mr. Liberal guy who wants to radically change the church. I'm talking about radically changing the church, taking major beliefs of the church, which are from the Bible. You know this, but I'll go ahead and explain that and state that for thorough detail. Taking major positions, baptism, instrument of music, marriage, worship, all of these things, qualifications for elders, the way we should live in the world, so on and so forth. And they want these things to be majorly changed. I'm not talking about little changes here and there. I'm not talking about a different approach, a different methodology with the same message. I'm talking about people that I know who want to completely change the church and make it less like the Lord's church and make it more like a denomination. I never will understand why people who are seemingly so unhappy with the Lord's church continue in the Lord's church. I don't get it. I don't understand. I admit to you freely tonight, I don't understand the psychology behind that. How someone could be so upset with the way the church is, so upset with what the church stands for, what sound churches stand for, and still insists on remaining a member of the church. Listen, as a Christian, as a preacher, I'm in the business of trying to get people to be members of the church, not leave the church. Don't get me wrong. I want people in the Lord's church. But as a Christian and as a preacher, I'm much more in the business of letting people know what the Lord's church is supposed to look like and be and do. That's more important than just getting people through the doors and or getting people on the roll, quote unquote. We need to make sure that we all are completely aware of how this thing is put together. The Lord is the head of the church. It is his body. You know, if you want a really good idea of what the church should be doing today, all you have to do, it's really this easy, all you have to do is pick up the Bible and read about Jesus. I want you to read about Jesus. I want more Jesus in 2019. I want to preach more about Jesus in 2019. I want to live more like Jesus in 2019. I want you and your families to do that, and all of us put together to do that, to be more like Jesus, more Jesus. That's what we've been talking about. If you want a real clear picture of what the church should be doing, should look like in today's world, just open your Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, and see Jesus in action. You will see Jesus was not a populist, And the church, here's the reason why I think you should open your Bible and read about Jesus. Because the church is his body. The church is his body. The church, us collectively, we should be doing today what Jesus did while he was here on earth. The church is his spiritual body. You want direction on what the church should be doing? Take a look at what Jesus did while he was here. He wasn't a populist. He didn't preach a message that would fit in any church anywhere USA. That wasn't Jesus. Jesus did not join hands with those who were denominational or of the world. Jesus did not compromise his valuable doctrine so that he could be liked more. Are you kidding me? Do you really know who Jesus was and what he stood for? If so, it should be no surprise to you why sound churches are doing what they are doing. Because sound churches today are doing exactly the same thing that Jesus did while he was here on earth. Churches act as Jesus' spiritual body. And we do the things. We take the stands. We draw the fire that Jesus did while he was here on earth. I never will understand why people don't like that. They don't like the doctrinal stance, and they don't like maintaining doctrinal integrity. They don't like any of that stuff, and yet they want still to be in our fellowship and in our brotherhood. With all the controversy and drama and lightning rod statements that they make and actions that they do, it seems that they don't like the Lord a whole lot, or maybe they don't know the Lord a whole lot, because the Lord's church acts and behaves the way the Lord acted when he was here on earth. And it's frustrating. This has been going on for as long as I've been a Christian, certainly for as long as I've been a minister, that there are some who are so dogged. You know, ironically, these ones that I'm speaking about in the church don't like dogma except their own. And they're dogmatic about changing the church and reimagining the church. And maybe even, as some have told me in years past, having a second great reformation, restoration of the church, changing the church fundamentally. Again, I'm not talking about small things. Talking about big things that make the church what it is, that give it its unique identity. We're talking about preaching Jesus, and that means something very different than what a lot of people think that means. In tonight's installment of our More Jesus in 2019 series, I want to preach Jesus tonight, plain and simple. I want to preach Jesus. I want to preach Jesus to you tonight the way Philip preached Jesus in Acts chapter 8. So won't you join me in your Bibles in Acts chapter 8, and we will see a good lesson tonight on what it means to preach Jesus. Philip is in action here in Acts chapter 8. The angel of the Lord says to Philip, Acts 8:26, you go and you join yourself to this Ethiopian eunuch. An official under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, had great authority. This Ethiopian had been to Jerusalem to worship. There's a lot to unpack there, but we're going to keep it simple tonight. This man, Philip, was going to meet the Ethiopian, and he goes to join him at his chariot, verse 29. Reports to us. And Philip sees this Ethiopian reading from his Bible, reading from the book of Isaiah, by the way, and Philip asks, do you understand what you're reading? Simple question. Not rude or off-putting in any way. The man's reading the Bible. Philip says, "Hey, how's that going for you? Do you understand what you're reading?" And the eunuch's response is classic. You probably are aware of these famous lines. He says, "How can I except someone should teach me?" Acts 8:31. So here's a man who's wanting to understand his Bible better. He's leaving Jerusalem, going back home. He went to Jerusalem to worship. And he's reading his Bible. And Philip says, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the man's response is, "I would like to understand it better. I need someone to teach it to me." And Philip joins him and sits down with him. And here's the place at which the Ethiopian was reading, talking about Jesus. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb before his shears. He was silent. He opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. And the eunuch has a question here about what he's reading from the prophet Isaiah. Of whom speaks the prophet? Who's the subject of these words here? Of himself or of somebody else? Philip opened his mouth. Read it with me, Acts 8:35. Philip opened his mouth and began at this same scripture and preached Jesus. Okay, so the table is set. I told you I want to talk to you about preaching Jesus. I told you I want to preach Jesus to you. And I want to do it exactly the way that Philip did. Philip preached Jesus to this man. Let's continue reading. Acts 8:36, as they were going on their road, they came to a water. And the eunuch said, so not Philip, but the person that Philip is studying with, he says, "Here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Wait a minute. Baptism? 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 I thought Philip preached Jesus to this man. He did. So, what? Why in the world do we have the mention of baptism? I'll tell you why in the world we have the mention of baptism. I'll tell you exactly why. Because preaching Jesus equals preaching baptism. Philip is letting us know, y'all, that you can't preach Jesus if you're going to attempt to sweep his doctrine under the rug. It doesn't work like that. And yet, so many, I don't want to beat this point up, but I want you to know it's serious. So many in the Lord's church, why ever they're still in the Lord's church, I told you a few seconds ago, I'll never know. They want the church to be completely different, but they don't have the nerve, the guts, enough to seek what they're wanting, or even state what they're wanting. Enough of that. You cannot preach Jesus and separate him from his doctrine. In some circles, you know, they've gotten a little cutesy about the way they say things, and they'll say, "Give me the man, but not the plan," you know. Just talk to me about Jesus and keep all of your doctrine to yourself. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Philip is preaching Jesus to this man. We just read together. His mission is to preach Jesus. More Jesus, less of everything else. That's what our goal is here this year. More Jesus, less of everything else. Do you know what that means? That means there will be an emphasis on doctrine, because you can't have Jesus without his doctrine. Philip preaches Jesus to the man, and baptism absolutely is a part of that. How do you know baptism is a part of it? Because baptism is a topic of conversation. Philip is preaching Jesus, and the man that he's talking to says, I think I need to be baptized. Where did he get that idea? Not from his own head, not from his own mind. He got that from Philip preaching Jesus to him. Preaching Jesus equals preaching baptism. It's not done to make anyone feel bad. We don't talk about baptism to make anyone feel bad. We don't talk about baptism to make anyone feel excluded. We don't talk about baptism because it's the only thing we could talk about. We talk about baptism because it is, listen to me, it is essential. It is essential to a right relationship with God. And I'll tell you who else thought so. Philip, the inspired preacher Philip, preached Jesus to a guy. And that included a heavy dose of baptism. Now, we see Philip doing more preaching in Acts chapter 8. Up above, Acts chapter 8, about verse number 12 here. Philip is preaching Jesus. If you believe that Philip was a consistent preacher, as of course we would believe, he preached the same thing. You know, he didn't fundamentally change up what he preached from place to place. So Philip preached Jesus to this eunuch in Acts 8:35. Philip is preaching again. Same Philip in action here. He's preaching, and those who are hearing him are hearing him preach about the kingdom of God. You know what that is, don't you? I hope you do. I pray you do. The kingdom of God, Acts 8:12, is the Lord's church. You can't preach Jesus without preaching about his church. A lot of people would wish it to be that way. I've had this happen more than a few times in my 20-some-odd year preaching ministry. Somebody will say to me, "Hey, Dustin, good news. I'm having my non-Christian family member visit me for church this coming Sunday." But they say, don't talk about the church. You know, don't want to turn them off. Don't want them to get upset. Don't want to have an uncomfortable ride home or an uncomfortable lunch after morning worship service. Somebody who's not a Christian, who's not saved according to the Lord's plan for saving man, is going to be here, but lay off the church stuff. You can't do that. Now, you don't have to be ugly. You don't have to be rude. I think Philip is preaching Jesus here in a very loving way. I think Philip is preaching Jesus here in a very congenial way, in a very friendly way. If Philip didn't care about this guy, if Philip didn't care about this man's soul, if he didn't love him, why get in that chariot and ride to Egypt with him? Why do all that? If you don't love him, man, go somewhere else. But Philip is here working with this Ethiopian and getting him to see the need for baptism because he loves him and because he loves the Lord. And as Philip is earlier preaching in Samaria here, he's preaching about the Lord's church because he loves the Lord, because he loves these people, because he wants them to be saved. Not so they can stand out and be different and get into religious fights or arguments. No way, you got to be kidding me. Philip's preaching Jesus. Just like I want to preach Jesus. Just like we should all want to preach Jesus. And in preaching Jesus, Philip is talking about baptism. Philip is talking about the Lord's kingdom, which is his church. Philip is talking about the name of Jesus Christ. That is the precious authority principle You may recall previously in our book of Acts, we're told about those who were preaching in the name of Jesus and how the council told them, forbade them not to preach in this name anymore. When you preach in the Lord's name, you are introducing His authority. As I said at the beginning of this sermon, as I try to say in so many sermons and Bible classes that I present, it's not our church. It's the Lord's church. That's why we do things the way that we do things. There are some things left up to our congregational discretion and autonomy. We can have a service at 6 o'clock like we're doing tonight. We could have a service at 5 o'clock like some churches do, I guess. We could have a service on Wednesday night. I know some churches have services on Tuesday or Thursday night. There are some things left to individual discretion, but the church belongs to the Lord. We can decide, we under the authority of the elders of this congregation can decide, hey, you know what, we want to have 5 songs and a prayer, or we want to have 2 songs and a prayer, or we want the Lord's Supper before the sermon, or the Lord's Supper after the sermon. But we can't decide, hey, we're going to let a woman get up and preach. Why not let her use her talents, man? Or we're going to let women be deacons, or unqualified men be elders. We don't get to make those decisions. Or we're going to wheel in an instrument and have it for part of our worship service, or the whole worship service, I don't know. We don't get to make those decisions. We're going to accept this man, not because we like him. He's a relative of some of the people here. Now, he hadn't been baptized for the forgiveness of his sins, but he's a good guy. We're going to go ahead and accept him. We can't do that because that is not operating in the name of Jesus Christ. There are rules that we have to follow. And when Philip preaches Jesus, I want you all to see that he preaches about the church. He preaches about the name of Jesus Christ, the precious authority principle. We do the things that we do because these are authorized by Jesus. And we only do the things that are authorized by Jesus, and we take that very seriously. Because we understand what it looks like, what it's like to not take these things seriously. Ask Nadab and Abihu how serious we should take these sorts of things. Ask King Saul how seriously we should take these sorts of things. These men disobeyed God, and it cost them dearly. Nadab and Abihu's case, they died because they didn't take seriously what the Lord said. Oh, yeah, we better take this seriously. Because it is, and it always has been, and it always will be, His church. And we must do everything that we do to please Him. And Philip preached that. He's preaching Jesus. You see him preaching Jesus. He's talking about baptism. He's talking about the church. He's talking about authority and doing things that are within this permission that the Lord grants. And he's talking about baptism again. Acts 8:12. They believed Philip preaching the good news about the kingdom of God. This is good news. This is the gospel. This is preaching Jesus. And they were baptized. Because preaching Jesus means it equals preaching His doctrine. Not in a pick and choose sort of way. I really like what the Bible says about baptism, so I'm going to talk about it. I don't like what the Bible says about instrumental music. Some might say, I'm not saying this for real tonight. I'm just mimicking what some might say. I like what the Bible says about baptism. Yeah, that's good. I don't like what the Bible says about instrumental music, so I'm I'm going to kind of, you know, or maybe I'll tell people, I'm still studying that. I like what the Bible says about baptism, but marriage, I don't really like what it says about that. And a lot of the people I know don't like what it says about that. So we'll kind of see how we can handle that. And maybe I'll tell people, I'm still studying that, or I've got some questions. There are some situations that, make me wonder. Oh, okay. We are not our own. And this church, the Lord's church, is not any of ours. It's His. Jesus is inseparable from His doctrine. You want to know more about Jesus, learn and study the things that He stood for. The stereotypical view of Jesus is that He's some frail, all-inclusive kind of person who never harmed a fly, just so passive and so warm and cuddly that He's not off-putting to anybody. That's the mutated view of Jesus in 2019. We just need to be more like Jesus is the plaintive cry from so many people who don't know the man. Because the Bible lets us know Jesus stood up for what He believed in so much they killed Him. He wasn't willing to back down, not even a little. He wasn't willing to compromise, not a single little bit. In John chapter 6, when so many people had turned their back on Jesus and walked away from Him, we have these painful, painful words. Get a mental picture of what's going on here. Jesus is preaching. He's preaching heaven's will, and people are listening to it. And when they finally take a minute to let what Jesus is saying sink in, they say, "Nuh-uh, man, we don't like this. We don't like this at all." And the Bible says, many, John 6:6, many of His disciples. We're not talking about the average guys out there on the street. We're talking about learners of Jesus. That's what a disciple is. Understand this. Jesus is so connected to His doctrine, and His doctrine is so unwavering that when Jesus preached this doctrine, many, not just a few, but many of His disciples turned back and walked with Him no more. They said, "No, thank you, Mr. Jesus. We don't like this." And if that's not sad enough, Jesus turns to the 12. So you have the cream of the crop, the disciples of Jesus, who are leaving Him in droves. Many turned back and walked with Him no more. And then Jesus turns to the 12, the elite of the elite, the 12 who were closest to Jesus, closer than anybody else. And Jesus says to these precious 12, the ones who were closer to Him than anyone else, "Will you leave and go away as well?" Jesus here is letting us know how committed He is to His doctrine. Even if He's standing all alone, Jesus is going to stick with His doctrine. It has cost numbers, the attendance, the association of many of His disciples. And Jesus turns to the 12 and says, "What about y'all? Are you going to stay or are you going to go? Because what's not going to happen in this story, what's not going to happen here, is Jesus changes doctrine. That's not going to happen. So Jesus is turning to the 12 and saying, what about it? Are you going to stay or not? Because this doctrine that Jesus is preaching, this doctrine ain't going anywhere. So Jesus says, are you going to accept it or not? Our Savior was prepared to be all alone in this world, if that's what it took for him to please God. That's Jesus. And a lot of people, when they talk about preaching Jesus and being more like Jesus, a lot of people don't have that in mind. They just don't. They have in mind the popular Jesus, who's feeding people, making them happy, healing the sick, making them happy. The Jesus that attracted large crowds. That's what a lot of people today have in mind when they say we need to be more like Jesus. That's an imbalanced view of Jesus. Because at the end, Jesus was all alone. At the end, Jesus was abandoned. The whole world was against him. And if we function as a church, if we function like the Lord's body, like Jesus' body, we're going to be in the middle of some tough times. People are not going to universally love us. We're not going to be everyone's favorite church, not if we're like Jesus. Because Jesus, listen, Jesus was not everyone's favorite person. Jesus was not everyone's favorite preacher. They killed Jesus. Never forget that. They killed Jesus. And we are his body collectively. More Jesus is the answer for so many of our problems. But as we embark on looking at Jesus more and preaching more Jesus in 2019, we're going to take an honest look at our Savior. And we're going to see him in his happy moments and in his lonely moments. We're going to see Jesus as he pleased the Lord and as he fell in the disdain of men. That's what we're going to see. And I'm praying all the while through that we will be more like this Jesus, the real Jesus that the Bible shows to us. I wonder about you tonight. I prayed for every single one of us before tonight's sermon, hoping and praying that we would all be like Jesus, as courageous as he was, as willing to put the Father's will first in our life as he was. Boy, he did that magnificently, didn't he? Jesus did. Put the Father's will first in his life. Will you do that tonight? I'd like to invite you to. By obeying his plan of salvation, if you've not already done so, the Lord wants you to be saved, and there's only one way for you to be saved, and that's the Lord's way. This isn't my plan of salvation. It's not Mac or Michael's plan of salvation. It's not the Augusta Road Church of Christ plan of salvation. This is the Lord's plan of salvation. And we tell it to you so often because we love you. Not to make anyone feel bad or excluded or lost. We tell it to you because we love you. We want you to be saved. And the only way for you to do that is to follow God's plan of hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. If you're ready for that this very evening, we're ready for you. Most in here have already obeyed that plan of salvation. It's fantastic. We are part of that brotherhood, that kingdom, that body, that church, that true church, that New Testament church, that Lord's church that I talked about earlier. But know this, we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to be more like Jesus in this world. More Jesus and less of everything else. If we can help you all tonight, we would love to. While we stand and sing, won't you come, please?
Thank you for listening to the Augusta Road Church of Christ. Located in Greenville, South Carolina, the Augusta Road congregation worships God in spirit and in truth in a friendly and loving environment. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for Augusta Road COC. And if you're ever in Greenville, South Carolina, we would love for you to come by for a visit.